In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, to those of you who have been redeemed by this baby born in Bethlehem. When you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be truth. Those words are originally attributed to the fictional character Sherlock Holmes. And they become quite famous and are used in most logic classes because those words say that when you have a question, if you eliminate all the impossible answers, all the answers that just can't be true, then the answer you have remaining, however improbable it might seem, must be the real truth. Well, today I want to put that philosophy into practice. For as we look at St. John's Christmas Gospel, which is always read every year on Christmas Day, we might have some questions about everything that John writes about the Word. And we'll see that by eliminating all the impossible answers, St. John makes it extremely clear who the Word is and what he was sent into this world to do. For notice what St. John says in the opening words of this Christmas Gospel. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word." And there's only one other book of the Bible that starts off with the words, "In the beginning." That's the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so there's no doubt what St. John means by writing, "In the beginning was the Word." He's talking about the beginning of time, before creation, before time even existed. That's when this Word existed already, in the beginning. St. John makes that clear with these words. But then, 14 verses later, at the end of our text, St. John says something else about the Word, something that we are celebrating here this morning. He says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that seems to contradict the statement that the Word was around in the beginning, does it not? For what does it mean to become flesh? Well, to become flesh means that you're born of a woman. It means that you took on human flesh and blood inside of a woman's womb and started to exist. That's why a lot of people celebrate their birthdays. They're celebrating the fact that they started, the fact that they are actually existing. That's what it means to take on human flesh. It means that you are a creature, you exist in this world. And so a question then arises as we read this gospel from St. John. How can the Word that was around in the beginning at the same time also take on flesh and dwell among us? It doesn't seem to make sense. Either you are around at the beginning or you were created to be a part of this creation. Either you are the creator or you are a creation. You can't be both. So how do we answer that question? Well, remember what the fictional character Sherlock Holmes said. He said, when you eliminate the impossible, whatever answer remains, however improbable, must be truth. And so what impossible things can we eliminate about this Word who was around in the beginning, this Word who took on human flesh? Well, the first impossible thing that we can eliminate is that anyone but God existed in the beginning. God is the source of all. He's the creator of all. You know the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if God is the source of all, if he is the creator of all, well, then nothing else could have been around with him in the beginning, right? He created everything. He's the only one that's around in the beginning, so that's one impossible thing that we can eliminate, that anyone but God was around in the beginning. The second impossible thing that we can eliminate is that anyone but a human being takes on flesh and dwells among us. You can think of when you were expecting a child. You might have been wondering, is this going to be a boy or a girl? I don't think you were wondering whether it'd be a human or a horse or an alien or something like that. You see, every time a woman gives birth, it's been a human being. It happens on average 650,000 times a day, and not once has a woman ever given birth to something besides a human being. So we can eliminate the possibility that anyone besides a human being can take on flesh and dwell among us. And if we eliminate those two things, that if we eliminate that anyone but God was around in the beginning, if we eliminate that only anyone but a human being can be born of a human, then how can we answer St. John's Gospel, which says the Word was around in the beginning and the Word took on human flesh? You know the answer. It's the reason you came here this morning, right? It's that this Word, this baby born in Bethlehem, is both God and man. Fully God, existing from all eternity, and fully man, existing from when he took on flesh in the womb of his mother. That's who this baby is, fully God and fully man. The Athanasian Creed made that abundantly clear. And it's not like this Christmas gospel from John is the only place where this is pointed out in the scriptures either. There are many other places that point out that this baby born in Bethlehem is both true God and true man. Did you notice what Micah said in our Old Testament lesson? He said this baby would come out of Bethlehem. He would be born in Bethlehem. True man. But at the same time, he says his origins are from all eternity. True God. St. Paul said the same thing in his letter to the Galatians. He said he'd be born of a woman. True man. And yet he's the Son of God. True God. And there are countless other places in scriptures that we could point to that make it abundantly clear that this baby born in Bethlehem, the baby whose birth you are celebrating today, is both God and man, 100% God and 100% man. And that's not even the best part of the story, my dear Christian friends. For today, we don't just celebrate that God performed a miracle by coming down to earth as a human being. God didn't take on human flesh. The Word that was around in the beginning didn't take on flesh just so that we could give him a standing ovation and say, wow, that's a pretty cool trick. I can't explain that in the least. But it's better than that. You see, the whole reason that God was born, the whole reason that the Word, which was around in the beginning, took on human flesh, it was all to be your Savior. St. John makes that clear in our Christmas gospel as well. If you just quickly scan that reading from John, you notice that John calls the Word life. And he calls the Word the light of the world. And he says the Word would be rejected by his own creation, but those who believe in him, it says the Word would make them children of God. And you can summarize all those phrases, that the Word is life and life and makes us children. You can summarize all those phrases with this one sentence. John makes it abundantly clear that the Word, he's your Savior. And you needed a Savior. You needed someone to save you from your sins because you were not born as God. You were born only as a human being. And since you were only born as a human being, you have a trait that every other human being who isn't born as God has, and that trait is sin. And if you want to enter heaven, well, that sin has to be removed from you because only perfect people are allowed in heaven. No sin can be in heaven whatsoever. But this presented our God with quite the conundrum. For on the one hand, only he had the power to remove your sins and make you worthy enough for eternal life in heaven. But on the other hand, he said the wages of sin is death, and that means to remove your sins from you, somebody had to die. God can't die. He's eternal. He was around in the beginning and will be around in the end. So this presented God with quite the conundrum. And how did God solve this problem? Of course, you know the answer. God became a man. The Word that was around in the beginning took on human flesh and blood so that he could be your Savior. For since Jesus is true man, he really could die. He really could die the death that you deserve and pay for every single one of your sins. But since he is true God, his death had the power to completely remove those sins from you so that you can be perfect in God's eyes and worthy enough to spend eternal life in heaven. That's why the Word became flesh. It was all to be your Savior. And so, my dear Christian friends, as you celebrate the birth of Jesus, just let the Scriptures speak for themselves. Don't try to put your own spin or interpretation on it or try to figure it all out logically, but let the Scriptures speak for themselves. The Word, who was around in the beginning, has taken on human flesh. That's really what gives you joy and peace this Christmas. For since the Word has taken on human flesh for you, this Word, Jesus Christ, that baby born in Bethlehem, he can be your Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. For our prayer, we'll sing our next Christmas hymn, a hymn by Paul Gerhardt, O Jesus Christ, your manger is.